This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
14 affairs, though, that is kind of juicy. And it didn't seem like they were married for that long, so then to have 14 different affairs within the span of their marriage is... that's a lot of people, Liam.
You'd be hard-pressed to find something that I care less about.
Let's take a breath. Hi, guys. I'm Cindy Lodwako, and welcome to Something to Share. Every Wednesday, I share the mic with people you may recognize, experts in their fields, people I find inspirational, or people who make me laugh, like my fiancé, Nick, giving them a platform to dive into the things that they really want to talk about. We all have something to share, something that we're going through, and something that we need to hear. So let's get started. Yes, she laid down.
Did she?
Yeah, because she was staring at me like, pay attention to me.
Thank God I brought her bed in here.
Yeah, that's what she does. Every time I record with her, I try to set her up nicely. I got to make sure that she's exercised. She's been fed. She's gone potty. She's good to go. So the entire hour that we have to be in here, that she can just chill. She's got her nice big bed to sleep on. But no, every time she acts a fool. The other day she was knocking over the little stool we have, like just repeatedly knocking it over. And I had to keep picking it up. And then one time she knocked over and just started chewing on it like it was a bone.
She knew what she had her hands on, her paws.
Yeah, she is a menace, but I love her so much.
I don't think she ever chewed on wood when she was a puppy.
Really? Did she chew on
leather?
Shoes?
Yeah. Yeah. She ruined a pair of my Taft boots.
I'm glad I came later then, because if she had ruined a pair of my shoes, I would have loved her even more, but we would have had some problems.
You would have loved her even more?
Yeah, well, because you can't get mad at them. They don't know any better.
You would have loved her regardless, is what you mean.
Well, maybe.
Not. I would have loved her even more if she would have ripped my boots to shreds.
Well, the other day when she was flipping her bed up and she was laying underneath of it and had the bed on top of her head and was staring at me, I fell more in love with her, even though she was acting crazy. So
that's a little bit different than destroying a personal belonging.
Yeah. I just love her so much. Anyways, welcome to the podcast. How are you guys? We just took a nap. I feel refreshed. I feel good, and we're happy to be here with you. Nick, do you feel good after that little nappy?
Yeah, I needed that.
It's been a long time since we've taken a midday nap.
I feel good. That's what Sundays are for, though.
Yeah.
Bengals don't play till later tonight, so...
the whole day's prepping for the big game.
Yeah, I can feel it deep in my loins.
You feel like it's going to go well? Who are they playing?
The Ravens again. Same team as last week.
And they did good last week.
They won.
Okay.
Wouldn't say good. It was kind of a sloppy game, but
all right, we'll see win's what happens. A win. I think my plan is to go to Target before and then maybe do some cleaning and like listen to a podcast while you watch.
Could listen to the game.
It's my me time. I can still hear it over my headphones because of your screaming. But
right on.
We have some announcements and things we wanted to talk through. The first thing was, one, we are 4 months out from the wedding.
We have some announcements. Everyone who's listening to this is immediately like, they're pregnant.
Well, no.
Not really announcements.
No, we just have some updates, I guess is the word. We all know that I'm going to say the wrong term no matter what it is.
It's happened twice already.
This is who I am. But we have some updates because it hit 4 months and it now feels actually serious. We're at the actual countdown. The contracts are starting to get real. The payments are starting to be due. People are starting to ask questions on where they're staying. People are booking their flights. So things, we're doing this thing. And I think that brought up a lot for me. These past couple of weeks, I turned into a stress ball. What would you say I was this week?
This week?
Yeah, this week alone.
I mean, you were pretty snippy this week. I mean, do you want me to rip your life apart right now? What are you looking for here?
Anyways, I had like a mental breakdown. I think it was Tuesday. One, I didn't sleep. And then two, I think I was doing so many things at once that I just got fully overwhelmed. So we're now at that point where I feel a lot of the pressure and I started to crack underneath of it. It got pretty, pretty frazzled there. But some of the changes that we've made, originally, we were really excited about we have a really big bridal party. We were really excited about having like a combined bachelor bachelorette party. And I found this place in Asheville. It was so cute. It's this really cute farm that has like multiple different buildings, and they have a big restaurant on site where you can get like large group like dinners, and you can horseback ride, and they have bonfires every night, and they make breakfast for you in the morning. It was so, so cute, and I was really excited about it. But we realized that this wedding has become expensive. Most of our friends are, you know, already married or have kids, so they have, you know, full-on lives now, and other people that they have to care for. And asking that many people, it would have been like 36 people to travel a month before the wedding and have a whole separate thing just seemed like a little aggressive. So we decided to go away with that plan. How do you feel about not having a full-on bachelor party?
I mean, it definitely takes away from some of the stress, just because like I'm 31 years old. Like, I've been to more bachelor parties than I can count. All been a great time, but mm-hmm. like, I don't feel like I need to have one. That's not like what I'm looking forward to most. I also know like what it feels like to be not necessarily strapped for cash, but like having to like budget and mm-hmm. like not knowing, you know, what the rest of the year is going to look like. I'm in sales. So
true.
You either perform or you don't get paid. So that's, you know, 1 year you're riding the high and you're like, this is more money than I know what to do with. And the next year you're like, okay, well, maybe I'll start Ubering. Who knows?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
I didn't want anyone to feel like they had to be there for that. Mm-hmm. Like, even the wedding, like,
yeah,
is, you know, special as it is to us, like, you've been to weddings.
Yeah.
If they're not like your best friend or like a family member or something, if they're just like a person you know or a person you're close with, like yeah, it's awesome to be there and you love to see it. But at the end of the day, like it's not going to be the end of the world if you don't make it.
Yeah.
But I also feel that way about people come to our wedding. Like if they can't make it, like you're going to be with us the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
If you're close, if you're really close to us, like don't kill yourself trying to get to an out of town wedding.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Know,
like it's one day.
Yeah, I think I like the fact that we're getting married, I think later, and not later in life, but like a little bit older than what I probably would have imagined myself as a kid getting married. And then getting married at 31, I think your priorities are just a little bit different, or you see things from other perspectives where you're like, well, would I want to do this if I was in the bridal party? Would I want to have to travel and do all these things? I would probably feel like, ugh, that's a lot of money. Their wedding's in a month. Like, do I really have to do this? Like, it'll be fun, I guess, but this is a lot.
Yeah.
So just taking that into consideration, and I think it removes the, like, we have to have this huge party. And I think social media can be really hard. That's been difficult for me because I see all, like, the really fun parties and the themes and, like, the cool photos and the videos. Like, I love that stuff. I love getting dressed up. I love a theme party. I love a girls' trip. So that's tough, but I see both sides of it where I'm like, but realistically, will that really matter to me at the end of the day? Do I need this like huge trip to Cabo with like all my girlfriends where we have to budget for the rest of the year because we blew a lot of money in Mexico? Like, is that really necessary for me? And for other people, if you can make that work and you have a lot of people that are able to do that, that's incredible. I just don't think that we're in the position where that makes sense. So we decided to go away with it. And I feel a little bit of relief because I think that was another thing that we were going to have to plan and coordinate. And then our plan was to invite everyone's significant others. So it was a huge trip you were planning. And that can be interesting. I was a little afraid of different personalities, not mixing or spending a weekend with people that they've never really met before. It could have been interesting. So yeah. It might have worked out for the best. But I do think that you can do it. Some people were like, I would love to do that. Would that make sense? I think if you find the right place, that farm we found was incredible. I think it's called like the Horseshoe Farm. It's in Asheville. Look into it. It's really awesome. Something where you can all be in one place and just kind of hang out, where you don't have to be taking all these different trips. So people can do their own thing if they want, and they can stay in different houses. But it would have worked. It was just a lot. So we decided to go without that. And then I'm just going to have like a mini bachelor night with some friends in my hometown when I'm there for my bridal shower. And I also feel like bachelorette parties have gotten a little crazy lately. I don't know. It's in the past few years, they've become this whole other entity of the wedding, where it's like a trip to Cabo, you're going to Aspen, you're going, like, you're going on like honeymoon type trips with like 10 people. It's a lot.
Yeah.
So that's what's working for us, and more power to you if you can make it work with, you know, your bridal party, whatever. But that's what we came to a decision on. But I think at this point, 4 months out, it's been like a matter of being realistic with like what actually matters to us, what is necessary. We were also looking into an exit from the wedding. We were at this hotel in my hometown, and this is really cool. What kind of car was it? Bentley?
I think it was a Bentley.
It was like a gray Bentley. It was like a four-door 1960-something. I have no idea.
It was like a 1930.
Oh. I don't know what the cars look like in the 60s. Anywho, it was an old car with like four doors, and the driver was there. So we were talking to him. He was awesome. So we were like, maybe this is meant to be. Maybe we should have this car. And then we got a quote from him. We're like, is it necessary to add all that extra money for, like, you said it. It's basically an extremely expensive Uber home.
Yeah.
It looks cool for photos. But then again, we're just taking it down the street. So we're like, okay, we don't need that. So it's just a lot of picking and choosing and really deciding, okay, what matters. Because really, truly, it's expensive. It is so expensive to plan a wedding. And if you're doing it this year, we feel ya. But that's what I think we've started realizing, is like, if we tailor things down and really lean into what matters to us, which is exactly what happened with the band versus the DJ. Now we have a DJ. We got rid of the band. So a lot of just like managing expectations, but I think once we get to the day, it won't matter. We'll just be like so happy with that we finally get to celebrate everything. So that's coming up. So that's our update. Let's get into some of our videos of the week. We have two to share. I'll show mine, then you can show yours. Okay, so this is a little girl. She's in the back seat. She reminded me of your niece. Here we go.
Where'd you get that? Did you open the vegetable tray for Saturday?
She's eating like snap peas.
Who opened it?
She said I did.
Remember when I said it was for Christmas?
Yeah.
Well, what? Yeah. Why'd you open it?
Because I liked them. Scare me.
What scared you?
Did it.
Why?
Because it scared me.
What did I do that scared you?
Trying to open this.
I asked you not to open it.
But I want to.
I know.
I want to.
That don't help me.
Okay. You just had applesauce and other snacks. But what?
What do you want?
What are the options?
We got carrots, we got broccoli, we got tomatoes, and sour, and peas, and carrots, and pepper.
Okay.
What do you like?
I wouldn't care for any, because that's for Christmas.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you just going to keep eating it, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So M.Carter15 is the creator. I love her so much. She was just hungry. And she took it upon herself to open the vegetable tray that her mom bought for Christmas specifically. But honestly, that's on her mom. She left it right next to her and so easy to open.
Yeah, like, she was asking like she for set it. Her up
yeah.
for content.
Yeah, it was literally in arm's reach. So could have been planted. It was a test. And I love that she started offering it to her. Like, what would you like? No, I've opened it. I love it. She's so cute. Your video is this one. Any context before we play it?
Context. No. I think it pretty much explains itself.
Okay, so basically the setting, if you're not watching, it's a video from a church service. Listen for the end.
Oh shit.
underscore Blake. Do you think, why was he videoing? Do you think he knew that was coming?
Yeah. He was holding it in, and yeah, he for sure. And it was probably like an all boys school.
Mm-hmm.
And they had like mass. I mean, that's the only setting I feel like you can get away with that. And actually, you can't get away with it anywhere because you're in church. But yeah. Like, I feel like that's something that someone would do at like an all-boys school.
Like they're showing off to their friends.
Yeah, like they have to do everything they can to like make the day less...
more bearable, I guess.
Yeah, and like you have a little bit more flexibility at an all-boys school. I don't think you get away with that at a public school like I went to.
I feel like you would not get away with it at an all-boys school either, though.
No, that's the only place you'd
farting
get away with it.
Farting in church like that?
Yeah, that's the only place you'd get away with it.
I don't know. I don't think...
I'll tell you right now. That's the only place.
Interesting.
That's an all-boys school humor right there.
Those are the videos of the week. The segment of keeping up with the kids. And I'm trying to figure out what they were actually talking about. People have been really focused on the same two things. The first one was DeMar Hamlin, which was a couple of weeks ago. And we were watching the game here in Cincinnati. And was it the first play? Why am I explaining this? You should explain this.
No, go ahead, dude.
The first play.
It wasn't the first play.
Oh, the first quarter.
I'll tell you that much.
During the first quarter, one of the plays.
I mean, I feel like everyone's seen
everyone
this.
Knows,
you know what happened. He went to make a tackle on T. Higgins. What they're saying happened is when he made contact, it was like in between heartbeats. I think that was the initial thought.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really saying what it ultimately ended up being. I don't know what it was. It was weird because they waited quite a bit to give an update as to what was going on. Not sure why. But obviously everyone was like on edge. Like, is he doing all right? You know, what happened? Like, is it a heart condition? Did he have a seat? Like, no one really knew what happened. Was it a concussion? Because if you watch the playback, that's almost what it looks like. Like, it almost looks like he could have hit hard enough to get a concussion, but only after he already stood up and fell back down. So it's like, what caused the initial fall down to even happen? And then he went to UC Medical, downtown Cincinnati. Pretty sure that they took him into surgery, like, immediately.
Yeah, I will say if you're going to have something like that happen, that's probably the best case scenario location for that to happen. There's medic right there. The hospital is like next door. So,
I mean, yeah, it's not,
it's very close.
It's close, yeah.
So what's interesting about that, though, for you is that's where they took you when you broke your neck initially.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you're in the same probably part of the hospital even.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the ICU.
Yeah.
So it was scary to watch. What's weird is, and I know a lot of people have pointed this out, but over the last couple of years, there's been like some very serious injuries happen while the Bengals are playing somebody at home in Cincinnati. So like,
interesting.
And it's always been like primetime games, like the Bills with Hamlin. Tua had a concussion earlier this season. Ryan Shazier for the Pittsburgh Steelers actually was paralyzed from the waist down. I mean, it's tough to see that regardless, but it's definitely tough to see somebody go through something like that when, like, you yourself have gone through a pretty traumatic situation. So, obviously, that one was hard to watch. The one that was really hard to watch was Ryan Shazier because, like, I was texting with my brother. I'll never forget it. I saw the play. He, like, is on his stomach. He reaches back and is, like, holding his back with one hand. And you can tell that he's, like, trying to flip back over.
Mm-hmm.
But his feet are, like, off to the side. And you could tell his legs aren't moving. So that one was tough to watch. I knew right away.
Yeah.
I mean, from being paralyzed, I knew he was at least paralyzed. He was definitely paralyzed from the waist down because he was moving his arms. But yeah, it was tough to see. So anytime you see stuff like that.
Has he recovered yet, that guy?
I think it took him, I don't want to quote on how long it actually took him, but it took him a little bit longer than mine.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember, I mean, mine was...
yours was 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, I mean, I got very lucky. And it has nothing to do with, like, your physical fitness level.
Yeah.
And it has everything to do with, like, number one, like, the level of the injury. Like, how high it is, at least, like, when you're talking about, like, spinal injuries, like, it depends on how high it is. Because that ultimately dictates, like, what you have use of.
Yeah.
So mine was C3 through C5. So I obviously lost everything from the neck down. And then it just depends on like the severity of it. Like, is the spinal cord severed? Is it just, you know, is it just like pinched?
Yeah.
To where it's like you're losing that functionality. So
I think you owe a lot of it to that hospital.
Oh yeah. I mean, the surgeon who operated on me like broke hospital protocol by operating me on me as quickly as he did.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think you're supposed to wait like 24 hours when you have a spinal cord injury.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they want the swelling to go down. I think that's the reason.
Yeah.
But they operated on me immediately. So, which ultimately ended up saving my life and saving my arms and legs.
I still can't wrap my mind around that story of yours.
It's crazy. Well, what's crazy about it is like the stuff that I still find out. Like yeah. we were at dinner. It was last year.
Yeah.
It was last year.
Yeah.
And my parents were talking to Sydney's parents about it. And I found out for the first time that they like cut my carotid artery in surgery. And I was like bleeding out. Should have died on the operating table.
They left that very big detail out.
It's a very big detail.
Wild.
Adds a little spice to the story.
Yeah. That's quite a comeback story, my friend.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're happy that Damar made it out.
You know, obviously as a human, you're like kind of like on the edge of your seat. Like what's going to happen? Is going to be okay? You're thinking about it the majority of the day because number one, it's all over the news. It's everywhere. But just as like a football player, you're kind of like, I don't know why it adds an extra element. I think it's because like when you look at these players, like a lot of people not only idolize football players, but like they almost think of them as like superhuman.
Yeah.
So when you see somebody go down from something like that, that's not even like a contact related injury or like incident.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary. It puts a lot of things into perspective, and it reminds you that these are just human beings, and like things happen. I'm sure it's tough as a parent to have to explain what was going on or what happened to your child who like looks up to these guys
or plays football
or plays football and is like maybe scared now to play football.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't like is the fact that people were like calling on the NFL to. They're almost like. Not, I wouldn't want to say politicizing it, but they were just like, you know, this is why the NFL is so dangerous. Like, what is the NFL going to do now that this has happened to keep players safe? And it's like, this was not, he was on defense. Like, he was delivering a hit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like somebody like did like a cheap shot on him or like what it blindsided him or something. Like, he was initiating contact and it didn't happen from contact.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he got hit so hard that his heart skipped a beat. It just from what they're telling us, like it was just timed up perfectly. I was talking to Vlanningham about this, like at work. If you think about throughout the entire course of history, the history of football, like through high school, peewee, college, you know, NFL, even overseas and like in Canada, like there's football everywhere. There's been football for a long time. And for this to be the only time in history that this particular event has happened. Now, there's been people who have had heat stroke and passed away. There's been people who have had heart attacks or strokes and stuff like that, or who have been hurt from contact. But like for this specific event, cardiac event to happen in football, like this, it's not like it happens every season.
Yeah.
Like it's ridiculous for people to even like call on the NFL to make the game safer when this is, if you watch NFL compared to the NFL that I grew up on, like it is a completely different game.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like this happens all the time. Or like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it doesn't happen all the time. This could have happened in basketball. Like this could have happened in soccer.
Yeah.
This could have happened in baseball. Like it's just like players run into the catcher all the time in baseball to try to get their catcher to drop the ball so that they're like if somebody's sliding into home.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's just like crazy to me. Hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, hockey and rugby are more physical so games physical. Than football these days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Does that pain you to say?
Does it pain me to say that? No. Well, first of all, rugby has always been more physical than football. Those dudes are crazy. They don't wear equipment. But hockey that's a very physical sport as well. I mean, those dudes used to not wear helmets.
So I mean, insane. And they fight for half the games, usually, it seems.
Yeah. Then they let him fight. I love it.
But yeah, like we said, we were very happy that he made it out.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see how much support he had. Like, they had people there all day, every day while he was in the hospital.
Yeah. I mean, it made me proud to be from the city of Cincinnati.
Yeah. I was like, very impressed.
There was a couple times, like, I got choked up looking at, like, Instagram posts and just the way that, like, first of all, for people to handle that situation in the stadium, like, the way that they did.
Yeah.
I mean, those are expensive tickets. They don't know this dude. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't know him.
He's playing for the opposite team.
It's a Monday night game. Like, there's playoff. You know, there's certain scenarios that the Bengals want, and they're going to be able to capitalize on if they beat the Bills, like, in this game. They had every opportunity to be assholes, and they weren't. And that's, like, it just makes me proud to be from Cincinnati. Like, and I'm sure every city probably would have handled it the exact same way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it feels good when it's your city.
There was businesses, like, changing their logos and, like, putting the Bengals...
Bills.
But the Bengals with the Bills, like, logos. They were, like, putting them together and, like... It was just very impressive.
Yeah.
Good sportsmanship.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even sportsmanship. It's like just being human.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, it was really cool to see. That's the other thing, too, is like the perspective that Damar Hamlin probably has now. Like,
oh my
not
God.
Everybody gets that opportunity. I'm extremely fortunate to be able to have the opportunity to have a near-death experience. And like, you get to come out on the other side and see the level of support.
Yeah.
That you had during that time. I mean, it's a very humbling experience. And, you know, luckily not everybody has to go through that. But if you do have to go through it and you come out the other side,
yeah,
it changes your mindset a little bit.
Yeah. That got me emotional when the coach was saying, like, how happy he was that his mom gets to share the news with him about how everyone put in the donations to his charity and they raised like $1 million+.
Yeah, several million dollars.
It's amazing.
And I think before that it was like a couple thousand, like,
yeah,
maybe like tens of thousands of dollars, but like nothing crazy.
It's a good side of the world that you don't get to always see.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is like what his charity, that's not just people from like Cincinnati and Buffalo donating. That's countrywide, at least, probably worldwide. It sucks that it takes something like that for humankind to like show its true like colors. But sometimes it's necessary.
The other thing that people are talking about, which is on the opposite end of humanity, is the Idaho murders.
Mm, yeah.
And I think what it's bringing up for people is like a lot of fear on how someone who is an absolute psycho can just decide to ruin multiple lives one day and not really have any reason to do it.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me how quickly something like that can not only like change the lives of the people who are directly involved, but like every college campus across the world. It doesn't matter if it happened in Idaho. Kids in like Southern California are probably like scared to like go out at night now, or like making sure that their doors are locked, and all, you know, up to like New York. Like everybody on a college campus was affected by this.
Yeah. I've seen multiple videos of girls like calling it the closing shift. They have those poles that you can prop up against your handles and they like kick that in. They put the extra like lock on the door. It's just like, sucks that we have to be scared of things like this. I mean, things that you would never imagine happening. And the other thing that makes me upset, which I understand, yes, why people do it, because people have an obsession with these kind of things. I mean, they're hard to wrap your mind around, but a lot of people just keep sharing like, oh, these are the things that he did wrong. This is why he got caught. They're like breaking it down, and I understand that. But then you have people who maybe want to do the same thing. They're getting like a to-do list of things that they can do differently the next time. It's just like, let's not. I don't know. There's like, how do you fix it? It's scary.
This person was studying criminal justice.
Yeah.
It also goes to show how much evidence they have on somebody.
Yeah, that was
before
wild.
They decide to let the media know.
Smart.
Because like everyone's like kind of going after the police department a little bit, like how do you not know, how do you not have somebody, and then literally like the next day they have somebody. It's not like they were just waiting for the media to pipe in.
Yeah.
I think that's what everyone needs to remember, is like, just because the police said, say, we have nothing to comment on at this time, does not mean that they don't have evidence or they don't have a suspect even. Like, they could have four suspects and still say, we're not commenting on anything at this time. We don't have any updates for you.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that nothing in the investigation has happened since the last update. They're just not, they don't have an update for you, yeah, the media, and the rest of the world because they're trying to protect the investigation.
I think that was really smart.
Yeah. What's not smart is how the media acts like this every time something happens.
Yeah. Like they're
They act like, how do they not have anything? It's like, they don't have anything for you, you dumbass. Like, this is 2023. They've solved murders with less evidence.
Yeah. I think that's what's interesting is he probably was like driving around or walking around like, oh, I got away with this. They don't have anybody.
Exactly.
So he was like acting as normal and being in the world and not like hiding himself really.
Yeah. If the suspect knows that the police are looking for him, you think he's going to be out parading around? Mm-hmm. Now, if he's ballsy,
yeah,
and doesn't really care, then yeah. Maybe. If he has an ounce of intelligence, he's not, if he thinks that the police are out looking for him, he's not leaving his house. And then that just lessens the chances for the police to catch him just out and about.
I love that they pulled him over twice.
To look at his hands?
To look at his hands.
Yeah.
Do you know why they were looking at his hands?
Probably looking for defense. Like, well, when you stab somebody, and when you stab multiple people that many times, this is just what I've heard from listening
all
to other
documentaries, yeah, all the stuff that I watch.
Stabbing someone is not easy. Like stabbing into bone, stabbing into flesh, it takes quite a bit of force.
Yeah.
Especially when somebody might be fighting back. And there are times when like the knife is gonna slip out of your hand and you may end up cutting yourself because you like lose control, yeah, of the blade. So what they were probably looking for, my guess would be like wounds.
Okay.
Right? Like, so you know, like when somebody's killed by knife, they look for defensive wounds. Like, was this person fighting back?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing for the murderer. Like, are they looking for, you know, maybe bite marks? Like, maybe one of the victims got a hold of his other hand, his free, yeah, hand, and bit him, or like anything like that. They're just looking for something that can tie this person back to the crime scene or the weapon that's involved that they used. Like,
yeah.
So I think that's my guess, is they were probably looking for something like that.
Okay. Makes sense. And everyone was really on TikTok. They were like, how could the roommate see the murderer and then not call right away? And like,
put yourself in that situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's traumatizing in any situation, like in any scenario. So, yeah, you can say a lot like, oh, I would have done this, I would have done that. You really don't know until you're in something like that. Hopefully, yeah, none of us ever are. But
and if you lived in a college house, like, especially if you're out drinking that night. I woke up several times, like in my first house in college, where like you go down and somebody like you don't know is like sleeping on your couch.
That's weird.
Like, it's just one of your like buddies who, yeah, you live with, like one of your roommate's friends, but like I don't know that person.
Yeah.
And like, it's not like I'm going to like wake them up and be like, yo, get the, like, I just assume that it's like one of my roommate's friends.
Yeah.
So like, I would assume that like your first instinct, if you see somebody in your house in college who's like not like attacking you, and like you just see them in your house, you're like, what the like?
He was like inside her house when she like peeked her door open for a,
yeah,
little.
Okay. I think, didn't you tell me that?
Yeah, she, it was like in the affidavit or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. She opened the door a little bit, and because she heard crying, and she heard a man's voice say like, "Don't worry,
I'm here to help.
I'm here to help," yeah, or something psychotic. So
she could have thought that like this dude was like taking one of her drunk roommates home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it.
Yeah. Or she probably just got a feeling, was like, I'm not fucking going out there. Like, probably just had an instinct. I don't know. I'm happy that they caught him. It's just like horrible. It's like the other flip side of the world. It's like, people suck. Like,
yeah.
There's some actual crazy people out there. So
quite a few.
So sad. Yeah. Quite a few. So hopefully these types of things stop happening, but
they're not.
Yeah.
I know.
I do love I do love that guy on TikTok who, I don't know if he's like former military or what, but he's this
former,
like,
probably former police.
Police, yeah. He has like light blue eyes and he's very serious, but he always stitches videos and gives you the way to handle a situation. So the other one was, I sent it to you today or yesterday, and
yeah,
it was like, if there's an intruder in your house, and he was like, well, if there's an intruder during the day, they want to get your stuff. But if there's an intruder during the night, they want to get you. I was like, oh, God.
Which I don't necessarily agree with. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure people who want stuff also, like, it's easier to break into a home at night, especially if they don't think that you're home.
I guess during the day, you hope that they're not home. They're like at work or something.
Yeah, but at night, like if there's no cars in the driveway, like
yeah,
like us, we park in the driveway. Right? Like yeah. We don't park in the garage. So like if you go by a house and like usually you know that cars are parked in that driveway and there's zero cars there, those people are probably not home.
Mm-hmm. He recommended having light bulbs that you can control from your phone. So if someone's in your house, you usually have the upper hand because you're usually upstairs and they're coming in from downstairs. So you have the view. And he said to turn all the lights on, make them know that you're there. So if you have those Wi-Fi light bulbs, you can turn everything on the house on. You can tell him I'm armed if you are or whatever. And you can call the police. And then you basically want to stay where you are, which I thought was different than like seeking them out. And then to keep pepper spray and like a little emergency kit by your bed. That's so scary.
But yep. Yeah, they look for easy targets.
Yeah.
Like, whether that's like an easy house to break into or if they know someone who lives there is vulnerable or by themselves. So you want to be loud. You want to make sure that they understand that like you have a weapon as well.
Yeah.
And most people are pussies. Like,
yeah.
They're going to leave. They don't want to fight.
No.
They want something easy.
He was theorizing that the Idaho murderer guy, what's his name? We don't even need to give him his name.
Fuck him, yeah.
Fuck him. He probably got in through a sliding glass door because you can like prop your knife under and lift it even if it's locked. So to get one of those either side latches or like the wood, long wood piece that you put in the door frame. Or you could be like me and you get a belt.
Dumb.
And you loop your belt around the door handle and then you take a nail and you hammer it to a wall. So if you're in a bind, you don't have those things right now and you're alone in your apartment in Los Angeles and you have a hammer and you have a belt, you can get very
You ever pulled a nail out of drywall? It's pretty easy.
It made me feel good.
I
at
hope
the
you
time
hit a stud.
It worked though because I tried yanking it and it wouldn't open.
You tried yanking it.
So yeah, stay safe out there, guys.
Not a bash on your strength, but you did tell me the screw on your microphone earlier was stripped and that it doesn't come off. And I literally did it with my left hand and it came off immediately.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're like, oh, did it put up a fight? No, it did not.
I don't know what my deal is. Every time I put it in, it just acts crazy.
You know what I think it is?
What?
I think as soon as you feel the slightest bit of resistance, you're just like, this thing's stuck.
It's out of my hands.
You literally just have to put a little bit more elbow grease.
Yeah. You fixed it, though, so thanks.
Yeah.
Two other things. One's Megan and Harry. And I don't really know a lot of the details. I tried to watch the documentary, and I think it is good. I just had the flu at the time, so I kept falling asleep. So I don't know if their two things are related or not.
I think that was the flu.
I don't know if I was like bored or just kept falling or had the flu. Probably a little bit of both. So the documentary was its own thing. I mean, they made $100 million from this documentary. So like they should be okay. But now he has books and he just keeps saying things. And
because people listen. Yeah. People are listening. Shut them down.
It's working.
Like, no one cares. I hate to take this stance because your mom was pretty excited about us watching it.
Yeah.
And I do not want to disappoint JoJo. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's any scenario where I watch that.
I don't see it either. I thought I wanted to have you watch it to like laugh at what you said about it, but
I just have, first of all, I think they're both very boring people. I think the entire royal family's boring because I live in America. And I don't care. I thought we fought
we get
to get away from the crown.
True.
We still Men died it. Creating this country. Men died for its independence. But we still give a shit about what's going on with the crown and the royal family. And that just irritates the shit out of me.
I think because deep down everyone wants to be a princess.
They want to until you're Meghan Markle and you're like, how could I turn this into money? How can I make myself famous because I was a poor actress?
Well, I'm not going to go against some of the claims that she had because I don't fully know. But
and you're right.
Yeah, I don't want to say.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. I'm sure there is some racism that goes on there.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is some mistreatment of people. However, just leave. Like you knew what you were getting into. Or Harry, nobody's saying this. He should have stepped up and been like, you know what? I don't think this is the family for you.
Like protecting his wife.
Yeah, like I don't think I should bring you into this family. instead of marrying into the family and then all of a sudden figuring out this isn't for us. No shit. Like,
yeah, he probably was hopeful.
Like, dude, you grew up in this family. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't talk about things. They want to sweep things under the rug. They want everyone to think that they are perfect individuals. We have that in the U.S. too.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the White House. Doesn't matter who's in it. So that just bothers me that we even, like, that anyone is giving a shit. Like, I just, like, I don't understand it all, I guess.
Yeah, and they're making a lot of money off of it.
Yeah, exactly. You're making $100 million complaining.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah, like, I don't think it is, though. Like, how is it interesting, though?
I think because it's messy, and there's a facade of the royal family that they are, like, perfect, or, like, they don't go through the same things that we go through, but I think all this unveiling is showing that, yes, they also go through family drama. Even if they're royals, like, there's still that side of them.
Okay, but who does that benefit?
It's just, we're watching with popcorn. It doesn't benefit really anyone. It's just more of like, it's like drama.
No, I know.
It's
like, and that says more about our society than anything.
We eat that up, though. As Americans, we love reality TV. I mean, look at the shows that people watch.
I just think it's like so, I don't know.
We need a reset.
Like, nothing's going to change. I don't understand what their angle is. Like, are they trying to, like, disband the...
Yeah, because he still wants to be a part of the family. He still wants
that.
He still believes in the monarchy, he said.
Yeah.
So I don't. The goal is a little unclear. It's a lot of things. I think it's like therapy side of it. He like wants to be accepted. You know, he's mad at all the things that happened to his mom. So he wants to like take a stand.
Look who you're taking a stance against. Like, I hate to burst everyone's bubble. You're never going to take a stance against the royal family. Like, you are... You're not big enough to take a stance. You are not going to make an impact. You are going to disappear. That's plain and simple. And the only reason he's not disappearing is because he was part of the family.
Hmm.
That's my thought. I mean, I love how people are like, yeah, good for him. He's standing up for him. See, speak out. And like, because it's making an impact. No, it's making them money. And the only reason nobody can do anything about it is because they were part of their family.
Mm-hmm. So
if that was a housekeeper, that story would be squashed in minutes.
Yeah,
it would run for a week, and then you'd never hear from that lady again because they would either pay her off,
mm-hmm.
or she just would not be. She would not exist anymore. Like, people act like this stuff doesn't happen. They act like it's like, oh, that stuff happens in movies. No, that's real life. It's real life, and it's not just government. It's big corporations. Like, that's the way it is.
I like to live in a fantasy land.
I know.
The one other big thing that came out this week is Miley Cyrus released a new song.
Thank God.
It's really good. It's becoming the anthem for the girlies. It's called Flowers, and it allegedly is all about her ex, Liam Hemsworth, and their marriage fallout. She dedicated this song to him, I guess, because he dedicated a similar song to her back when they were together. He dedicated the Bruno Mars, I hope, I should have bought you flowers, I should have held your hand, that song. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. He dedicated that song. Like, yeah. I had Bruno put it together, and...
We worked on it together.
Wow, what a act.
Yeah, I don't really know how you like dedicate a song to someone that you didn't create, write, or sing, but he did. And then she released this one on his birthday. So here's a little breakdown of their relationship that this creator put together, and I think it's helpful because it's like a little reminder of what happened with Liam and Miley. And the creator is at Shannon Hill News. There's 5 parts. Here we go.
So I never understood these two as a couple, if I'm honest. I thought that they were really cute together, but I was very surprised at how long they dated for and then even got more serious with the engagement. But they were both so young and they were both very much at the beginning parts of their careers that I assumed this would have been like a cute, quick fling and then they would move on. But that did not happen. So let's do a deep dive. This is part one, Liam and Miley. So they first met during the filming of The Last Song, which is a movie based on a Nicholas Sparks book.
Obviously, great movie.
It's going to be romantic and mushy, and they couldn't.
Did you see that movie?
Fall for each other for real. So there was all these rumors about them possibly dating or being romantically tied. They did not confirm it until end of movie production. And I think that they were caught making out at the airport, and there was a lot of PDA, and that's kind
weird.
Of how
the fuck, why are you making out at the airport?
Because they're like,
and she
20.
Had a few boys.
Okay.
This was one of them, and then a Tyler, can't think of his last name right now. But anyways, she kind of was coming into her own here, and still very much so like pop, fresh Disney. Liam was new to like all of us. He kind of, I think this was like the first movie I've ever seen him in.
This is when we all fell for Liam.
Saw them make out at the airport, said it was like this really romantic scene from a movie where he was like leaving off to war. We catch a few pictures of them out in public. They seem really happy, but then
I know damn well. She did not just
compare
war to leaving the set of a movie. Dude, turn this off. No, we're not going to watch part two. That was...
And this is where it gets really interesting.
Okay, let's go to part five.
Are you fucking kidding me?
What?
There's five parts?
Okay, we'll go to part five. We'll save you.
What does this woman do for a living?
I have no idea, but she broke it down nicely. This is part five.
After years of being on and off, on and off, on and off, they finally have this beautiful wedding in December of 2018, and they look amazing and so happy. But just 6 weeks later at their Malibu home, there are these wildfires in California, their house burns down, and this is what Miley told Rolling Stones a little while later after all.
Rolling Stones?
She said, "The fires removed me from what no longer was serving its purpose." Deeper meaning here, so stay with me. "And then as you drown, you reach for that lifesaver and you want to save yourself. I think that's really what ultimately getting married was for me. One last attempt to save myself." She also later tells Howard Stern that she went from having a house and possessions and a husband to losing the house and possessions and just having him to cling on to. And she also tells him she'll always love him. These two end up separating in 2019 and their divorce becomes final in 2020. And for so long, we get all of these answers. There was too much conflict. We grew apart. All of these like subtle hints until today, because this is where we talk about Miley's song, Flowers. Her song and music video dropped today. First lyrics that fans noticed were, "Built a house and watched it burn," referencing Liam's house that burnt down during the fires. Then there are several lyrics in Miley's song that sound like a Bruno Mars song that was dedicated to her from Liam. She says something along the lines, "I can take myself dancing, I can hold my own hand. Yeah, I can love me better than you can." Sounds like "When I Was Your Man" from Bruno Mars. After all of these little Easter eggs being dropped in these lyrics, according to Miley's close friends, the house where the video Flowers was recorded was used as a motel by Liam Hemsworth, who would have taken more than 14 lovers while he was married to Miley. She filmed this music video at the same place that Liam was having 14 affairs. Now, this was a decade-long relationship, basically, and they have moved on since, but this song, this music video, this is all about Liam and their marriage. Meanwhile, Miley is currently linked to Max Mirando, and Liam has been in a long-term relationship with Gabriella Brooks. But man, did I root for them at this point in their relationship. Just wasn't meant to be.
Maybe her and Taylor Swift should write a song.
I don't know if they have. 14 affairs, though. That is kind of juicy. And it didn't seem like they were married for that long, so then to have 14 different affairs within the span of their marriage is... That's a lot of people, Liam.
You'd be hard pressed to find something that I care less about.
It's juicy. That's what's happening.
It's not, though. It's like, I love how people are like, "Oh, you see the way she is in this picture? That's how she really wanted to be with Liam." Like,
yeah, it's like
she's
one
probably
photo.
High. Like she, like, I love how people act like they know celebrities' like true self.
Yeah.
I don't know why she's doing this. That's not her. Like, "Oh, did you guys go to high school together? I had no idea you were related."
Yeah. So, yeah, that's that. But it is the anthem. It is a very good song. It is catchy. I'm here for it. Team Miley. But I did love Liam back in the day. Anywho, what's your final thoughts on that?
I didn't have a first thought on it. So...
Yeah, well, you did mention that Hollywood is fake. I have one other video to share with you to represent that.
That Hollywood is fake?
Yeah.
I would assume that other people have that opinion as well.
Not people don't think that, or people just like to live, again, in the fantasy land, which I like to live there, too. Yeah, here we go.
"If you bitches think Hollywood is real, let me tell you about the job I'm going to in, like, 50 minutes. I am getting paid for 4 hours of work, $150, to play somebody's fan. I'm not even being recorded on camera, This is a PR paparazzi stunt, and they are hiring fans. That's me. Like, I'm literally about to be like, rah! Like, over like a bitch I don't know.
We're not going to come at him for calling this female the B word.
This is why is the creator. What does it say? This one why? At this one why? Apparently he didn't sign an NDA.
I mean, does that surprise you? Like
No. And they reveal stuff like that to us all the time.
Get your ass up on the big screen and play make believe. Like, I don't care what you believe in. I don't care who you date. Like, just do your job, and I don't care what else. You know what I mean?
Do you think people need idols, though? Like, do you think that... I think that helps people. It's, like, people that inspire them, people that they look up to.
Yeah, I would not aspire to be, like, someone who literally plays make-believe for a living. Like, that's not somebody I would look up... Now, if I was an actor,
yeah,
you can look up to them based off of, like... how well they portray somebody, you know what I mean, like their ability to act, but like their life, like if I'm just a regular dude, I just feel like that's weird. Like,
yeah, but it's very common. Oftentimes it's seen as like the pinnacle of like making it is celebrity. A lot of people want to be famous, you know.
Yeah, but they like they're famous for being everything but themselves.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you look up to somebody who's that like inauthentic. And I'm not saying it's like they're not a genuine person, but like you're not looking up to someone based off of that actual person. Mm-hmm. You're looking up to them based off of a character they played.
I think that's what it is. I think people attach what their personalities are, who they are as a person, as the favorite character that they played.
And that's why they get disappointed when they meet these people in real life. They're like, that dude's an asshole. Yeah, he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Because you're looking up to... fucking Iron Man. You're not looking up to whatever his name is. Robert Downey Jr.
The
fudge. I feel like people get so surprised when they're like, yeah, did you hear so-and-so? Like, they got arrested for possession of narcotics. And it's like, yeah. Did you think they were going to arrest Superman and he was going to piss clean? Like, no. They arrested him because he's human. And he gets addictions just like everybody else because he's an actor.
I think it goes back to like the fantasy of it all. Like you want to believe the fantasy because it's easier than believing
when you're a
truth.
Child.
But sometimes people need the fantasy. The other thing I wanted to discuss with you was super interesting. It was kind of an aha moment for me the other day. Was one, we all know this, but Nick is my first real relationship. He's my first boyfriend, first fiance. Last fiance, okay. First husband, last husband. And I haven't been in many relationships before him or like really anything. So my point of reference for like what a relationship is, besides what I've seen on TV or out from my friends or from my parents, that's kind of my point of reference versus my own experiences with it. Which in general, I feel like I got the gist. You don't have to be in relationships to really know how to be in them. But there are certain things that I just don't have the point of reference for, which we had really nice perspective from being with another couple the other day where I was like, oh, they go through that too.
Nate and Katrina, you say their names.
Nate and Katrina. So we met with one of our couple friends. They're awesome. Nick went to college with them. And we were just like talking about relationship stuff, just like laughing about certain things. And one of the things Katrina and I were relating on was the fact that I love physical touch at all times. Like if I just can have a hand on his like hand at night or just like one form of touch, it just makes me feel calm and good. And she's the same way, but he gets at certain times sensitive because he doesn't want to be touched or he's hot or you did break your neck.
Not
and you
sensitive,
have some...
just don't want to be touched.
Well, you also have the thing where you did break your neck and you have certain like sensitivities.
I have nerve damage.
You have nerve damage, so it's understandable, and I get that. But sometimes I want to just like touch you, and it won't be the right time. So I was like thinking that was just like an us thing, but they were like, oh my god, yeah, we're the same exact way. Like I always want to be touching him, but he needs personal space and has to be the right time. So that I was like, oh, wow, we're not the only ones that go through these things. That's so interesting. And the same thing with. I think when we have arguments, we don't really have them often. When we do, I get in my head and I'm like, oh my God, are we, is this bad? Like, should we be fighting?
Like, we're not even going to get married.
Yeah, we're not going to make it.
This is it.
But then you've been in arguments with girlfriends and stuff in the past. And
nah, I mean, not like.
But it doesn't, it's not as like, you never seem to have a problem with it where I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, because we're not going to agree on everything all the time.
Yeah.
And while it's never okay for physical violence, like, yeah, we're going to raise our voice at each other a couple, like every once in a while.
Yeah.
That's how it is. It's not like saying hurtful things. It's just like you get passionate about something and that's it.
Take a stance.
And then it's done. You make up, you're like, damn, I was wrong, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I had a rough week. Like, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then you move on.
But when you don't have a point of reference like me, you can easily get in your head about it. Like, oh no, this is bad. We shouldn't have this happen. Because I don't have anything to compare to really besides like seeing it in other relationships. I don't have the firsthand experience until now. So it's interesting. It's eye-opening, a learning curve. Always, you know, I'm always learning something new. But it was nice to have another couple to talk with the same exact things and me realize like, oh, we are not unique in that way. And that's good. I feel like that was helpful for you too, where you can see where I like get overly emotional about things.
I can almost see in real time you like getting inside of your own head. Mm-hmm. And that like frustrates me because like your expectations of like that's whatever the situation is are not realistic. And it like bothers me that I can see you getting inside of your own head. And no matter what I say, you're not going to be able to like fight, like shake that feeling.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, I don't know how to fix it. Yeah. Like, there's nothing I can do to fix it because what you're feeling is not like, it's not realistic. It doesn't, I don't know. I don't know how else to explain it. Like it's.
I take things super personally.
I know.
I try not.
I know.
Yeah, I really do.
Regardless of what people think about me, the last place I go is personal.
Yeah.
Like I may be harsh and I may be a jerk sometimes, but like if I know that a certain thing bothers somebody, I'm not going to go there. That is the last resort for me. Mm-hmm. And the only way I'm going to go there is if like I'm forced to go there.
Yeah.
And if I have to like get somebody to understand something about themselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's imperative that I go there to like bring it to their attention. Mm-hmm. But I'm not just going to start going to attack somebody personally.
Personal shots. Yeah. No, I think it's very helpful for me to one, see it from the perspective of other couples. And then two, just know that about myself, that I just naturally internalize things and just take it as an attack on my character. But that's a thing that I need to work through. But
like
these things wouldn't have come up unless I'd been in a relationship to experience them and to understand them. But like I'm learning it in real time.
Yeah.
Where other relationships, I might have already like figured this out. But since this is my first, I'm doing it now.
Yeah. Like, so like this morning is a perfect example. I was like sitting on the couch early morning, which is like really the only time that I have like to myself.
Yeah.
Like everyone has that time in their day that they kind of like need. Like hers is probably, well, I mean, she gets a lot of, like when I'm at the office, she gets basically all day to herself.
It's nice.
Yeah. And like, you're allowed to say that it's nice. Mm-hmm. Like everyone needs time to themselves. It doesn't mean that you're a loner, but like when you expect that time and like you know that you need that time, like it's pretty detrimental to your day when it gets taken away from you. So like this morning, like obviously my time is early. Mm-hmm. Like right when I wake up, that's why I like not going to the gym right away, because I don't have to go straight into talking or like being around people. It's not like I have to talk to people, but
yeah.
So I like to get up early with Dixie, feed her, let her go to the bathroom, and then I like watch the news or whatever. This morning I was watching the end of a Rogan podcast that I was watching last night. And like she woke up, as glad as I was to see her, my future wife, she came and like sat on the couch with me, and that was fine. It's not like she was like trying to have a conversation with me or like distracting me. But then she put her head like and laid on my shoulder, and I was just like, "Mate, this is my time. If I could just get a little space."
You need your wake up time.
No, it's the only time I have to myself.
Yeah, it's your sacred time. I get it. You had your morning planned out for yourself. You're like, okay, I'm having like slow time, have my caffeine,
watch
the
rest of this. Like, I'm going to look at my phone and like...
have some silence.
She's big at like, what are you looking at on your phone? What are you looking for? And then like that would like spur a whole another conversation. Like, well, it's for this, but like, do you know how like this? And then like, okay, so, well then do you remember me talking about this? And it's just like, it's like a 15-minute conversation based that started from her being like, what are you looking up on your phone? So it's just like little things like that where you just like get a little break to just kind of like kind of go mind numb and just like mm-hmm. go into autopilot.
I'm starting to understand our morning even more now.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like if you were to meditate and like have your like morning routine, and if that gets interrupted, it's hard to like fully start your day, which I fully gather.
Yeah. It'd be like if somebody was like, we're out of coffee. And you're like, well, I drink coffee every morning. Like, I need my coffee.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we don't have any. It's like, I'm going to need that coffee, though. It just, like, throws your whole day off. Yeah. You're just kind of like, ugh. Long story short, I could tell that she was, like, taking that personally when I was like, babe, can you just, like, give me a little bit of space?
I'm a personal
like, just
picker.
Slept next to you. You just slept on me. Like, I just need a little time to just scoot on over. There you go.
Yeah.
It's just stuff like that. Like, not personal. No. Like, if Dixie was laying on me, I'd be like, get off of me. You have the whole couch.
Yeah.
And our bed.
So it's a give and take. And I find that fascinating about relationships. Like, where sometimes you just have to give and let me be touching you when you don't want to be touched. And sometimes it's a take with me where I have to be like, okay, got to give you your space for the morning. That's fine.
Yeah, I'll be the first to admit I'm the worst offender when it comes to, like, it has to be under my conditions that somebody touches me.
Yeah.
Or that I'm, like, I'm willing to, like, put my arm around somebody and, like, yeah. I think I've gotten a little bit better.
Don't make it sound like you don't cuddle me and, like, you do. Yeah. You absolutely do.
Yeah.
But I understand that it can't be all the time. One, because of your accident, what happened to you and your nerve damage. Like, that's a thing. And two, because it sounds weird, but it really is.
I'll have like my feet up on the bed or whatever, like on the couch, and she'll just like walk by and like, just like touch the bottom of my foot. And it like literally sends a shockwave up my entire body and it like cripples me. I'm like, what the fuck? I told you, you can't do that. It's just for whatever reason, like the bottom of my feet, like my nerves are still shot and like hypersensitive. It's almost like having a superpower, but like the worst superpower.
Pretty shitty one.
Yeah. All the feels. I give new meaning to that phrase.
I have all the feels too in the opposite way. Mine are just the emotions. So that will give you hopefully licensing if you're in a relationship and you're like, we're the only ones that experience this. It's only us. We have a problem. You know what? You're not.
I think it's so funny too is the fact that like I've tried to explain that to you. Like, God, babe, like everybody goes through this stuff. Like this is normal conversations to have. This is normal disagreements. And I can like almost see it like getting worse. So I'm like,
yeah, right.
God, dude, we need to watch, like, we need to set up a camera in somebody's house and just like let her observe.
Yeah, I do. It's like a thought tank or something.
Think tank.
I need to see more examples, because what you see on social media, people are only putting up like the highlight reel of what their relationships are. Like, you only get to see so much, which is like, privacy is a good thing to have, but you don't get to see always the other side of relationships unless someone lets you in, like we had the other night. So that was very helpful for me. It was a very good observation thing. So I just need things like that and just not to get in my head so much. But so if you needed that today and needed to think like, oh, my relationship is normal, there you go. Because I've also seen a lot on TikTok is like the generalization of relationships and being like, if he doesn't do this thing, then it's a toxic relationship. Get out.
Not the one.
So there's a lot of that like messaging, which can be true in certain situations, but it also relationships are so nuanced that we can't really put general statements on people and situations. I feel like we could wrap it there. I feel good about today. Got a lot off my chest. I feel lighter. Sometimes got to break it down to build it back up.
It's the water weight.
Yeah, I cried a lot today. I'm on empty now.
It's not funny. I don't know why.
I did a lot of crying. But
I was about to say this a little bit ago, but like when we were talking about like disagreeing with your partner, like, can you imagine being in a relationship where you agreed on everything?
Yeah.
Like, that's so, and I know people say that all the time, but like if you like sit down and think about it, like, that is so boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so boring. Like, if you agreed on everything, it'd just be so, like, it'd just be a weird existence.
You'd be like carbon copies of each other, like little clones.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be like important things. Like, you'd just be like, I don't think that's very funny. Yeah. And I'm like, that's hilarious. What are you talking about? Yeah. Like, so I don't know. If you had the same interest in something or in everything as someone,
yeah,
I just feel like you're never going to grow from that.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to experience other things. You're never going to, like, see other people's point of view if you don't disagree on things. Like,
yeah.
So I think it's healthy.
I can appreciate your interests and what you like, but I also don't have to like them too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it's, and believe me, I know what you don't like about me. Like, I am well aware that there's some things that she doesn't like about me. But, yeah, I just think, like, it would be really boring if...
Yeah. We don't have a boring life, that's for sure.
I don't think so.
I'm not bored. So this is also permission to do that as well. And everything will be fine.
For the record, I tried to get her to not cry.
Yeah.
This was not me. I didn't get personal, I don't think.
You didn't, but you, like, anyone can say anything to me and they'll just strike the exact right chord and it'll be my undoing, you know? Usually I'm pretty, like, not a big crier normally, but, like, you'll say the one thing.
Everyone's that way, though. Like, there's things that I would...
And I'm unleashed.
If you talk to me about certain things, like, I would...
Yeah.
Like, right now, I will melt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got choked up literally this week watching a TikTok of, I don't know if anyone is listening has ever seen Band of Brothers on HBO, and it covers, it's like a mini series that portrayed Easy Company. Every episode would start off with them interviewing, like, the real life members of Easy Company.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, older, obviously older guys or World War II vets, and, like, talking through their different experiences. And there's one episode, it's episode 7, it's called Breaking Point. If you want to look it up, one of the members of Easy Company, one of the real members, starts talking about, like, taking care of his wounded friends. And, like, I'm getting choked up, like, talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, taking care of his wounded friends and, like, watching them die. And then he starts getting choked up. And then, like, it immediately goes into, like, the theme song, like, the intro to Band of Brothers, which is, like, one of the most beautifully written pieces of music that I've ever heard. Probably because it has to do with World War II, and, like, it just gets every single time. I've probably watched Band of Brothers, like, all the way through probably 3-4 times. Like, I love it. I think it's awesome. But every single time, even just seeing that little clip, I was like, God damn it. I went into the bathroom so she didn't see me. Like, and luckily she was, like, doing an ad or something, or, like, doing something in here.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, dude.
I think music really hits.
God damn, dude.
Music
allergies.
Hits it different.
What?
Music really does it for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, music and, like anything that has to do with anyone really, burying loved ones or, like, burying friends, but, like, it's really anyone. Like, that shit just, even if it's talking about pets, like, having to, I hate when people put that stuff on TikTok.
They'll, like, get you in the middle of, like, you're swiping, you're like, go funny video, and then all of a sudden you're watching someone's pet die. And you're like, what?
Rainbow Bridge, and you're like, oh, dude, what?
Your whole day is ruined. You're like, well,
I'll be
prepared for that. Yeah.
Dude, I don't feel good. I'm
taking
gonna go
a potty
home.
Break and you're undone, you know? So that's the episode this week. I hope you guys are having a good week. And I think the message is, feel free to cry and know that your relationship is A-okay.
It's fine. You're allowed to disagree.
All right. Love you guys. Share this episode with friend, family, anyone who you think should hear it. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Hooday.
That is it for me today, you guys. Thank you so much for being here and for listening. Before you go, make sure that you rate, review, follow, subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And in the spirit of sharing, be sure to share the podcast with a friend or give us some love on social media and tag us at Something to Share Podcast on Instagram. See you next Wednesday.